It's Palmer.
It is I, Mayor of the Airwaves. How are you doing? Well, okay, we have a couple of local ladies in here, and they are having a show, a local show. It's the award-winning play, The Women of St. Regret, and the playwright is in here, and your name is?
Jude Lemoncelli.
Jude Lemoncelli. Yeah. Hey, grazie. Yeah. Hey, did you bring any spaghetti for us today? Lasagna?
No.
And, of course, this is Patricia. Patricia's no stranger to here. Matter of fact, her husband did one of that famous painting that you see every day of that Mike. Yeah. I traded them out for a Bob Dylan.
That's right.
Yeah. And, I got somebody bought one of my Bob Dylans this summer, $600.
Yeah,
that's the most I ever got for one of my paintings.
Wow. That's pretty impressive.
It's hanging in the guest bedroom.
Wow.
I love that painting.
You do?
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
I love it.
Thank you.
Love it.
So, that's the thing when I was first doing art, just give it away. You want to give it away. But you have to charge something because it costs so much to do. Now, where are you two putting on this play?
We're putting it on at the Heritage Center.
Oh, downtown.
Yeah. Right downtown on 14th. And it's a beautiful space. And it's relatively raw theater space that is being transformed into a mini theatrical experience on November 14th, thanks to Patty Hall, our producer-director, and Jeff Hall, who is our set designer.
That's her husband who did that painting.
A very talented duo here.
He's amazing with his set designs. Does stuff for Riverside, does stuff for the Theater Guild.
Yes.
Done stuff for major stuff in Nashville, right?
Oh, yeah. Lots of stuff in Nashville.
Movies, too, right?
TV.
TV.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, maybe he could help me have a better set design.
He told you he would.
Yeah.
Years ago.
But the only problem is Barbara did this, so I can't count on it. Which I like. She did a great job.
Yes, Barb. It's great.
But, it'd be nice to have a theme. Country theme here. Welcome to the country hour.
We could do that.
Hippity-bippity-bop. Anyway, so this show, what is this show about?
Oh.
Well, I'll start and let Patty embellish a little bit more here. But I wrote this play about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's about three women in their 50s, maybe early 60s, late 50s, who are old college roommates who get together once a year in the Catskills for a wellness weekend.
Oh, the Catskills. Are you from that area?
I'm from New York. Upstate, yeah. So,
where upstate?
In the Rochester area.
Oh, Rochester. I went to Rochester Institute of Technology, or RIT, for cinematography.
Oh, great school. It's a great school. One of the best. Absolutely. Anyway, these women, they get
cold
together.
Up there.
Well, it's cold today. I know that for a fact.
Hey, Siri, what's the temperature in Rochester, New York?
Oh, God.
51 degrees.
No.
That's not bad.
That's not too bad.
Oh, that's horrible.
No.
It's horrible. Anyway, so they gather at this upscale lodge every year and get together, and they all have different parts of their lives and children, grandchildren, husbands, ex-husbands, whatever. And it's a wellness weekend. You know, they have yoga classes and they do Tai Chi and they basically bond. Well, this particular year that they're getting together is different. There's a blue moon that weekend, which is conjuring up some interesting spirits. And so each woman in the dead of night after their first arrival is visited by an apparition. You want to call it a ghost, maybe, but I call them provocateurs because they are there to confront each woman individually about something in their past that has to be resolved. These women are from the town of St. Regret. Fictional town I made up, but
so
obviously
is it about regrets.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. That's why I wanted to do a little bit of a tie-in. But these women are visited at different times of the night by a particular apparition, and who makes them confront things that may be unresolved in their life, things that they've regretted, things that they need to take care of, and how these women resolve all of this at the end of Act Two is somewhat hopeful, but it doesn't tie up all the loose ends in a tidy way.
We could have another one.
We could
another
one. But maybe Patty could talk a little bit more because she's been working with, we have a dynamic cast.
I have to, forgive me for this. I have to take this opportunity, though, if you don't mind.
Oh, please.
Do you know Beverly Osler? She's 92. Anyway. Well, I wrote a song to her called Blue, Blue.
Oh.
Shining over the blue, blue sea.
I'll be bluer than blue till you come back to me.
Oh, that's beautiful.
I would travel through the universe
and the Catskills
beyond Jupiter and Mars. I would go anywhere just to be where you are. Blue, blue.
I love this. Oh my God.
Shining over the blue, blue sea.
Oh my God.
I'll be bluer than blue till you come back to me.
That the play takes place with this very...
I never knew what a blue moon was till now. Till you're telling me a blue moon.
It's very spooky a little bit, but that's beautiful.
Yeah.
Oh, so it is a... I call it a dramedy.
We should make a recording of it, and when people are coming in, you should be playing that song.
Why not?
I'm still putting the music together.
Listen there, yeah.
We'll talk after.
Yeah,
we'll talk after.
We'll make a deal. Hey, get out our cigars and come
that's
to terms
fantastic.
Here.
Fantastic.
We'll talk after.
Well, anyway, so it's really a...
Give me a buck. That's what Hallmark gave me for my theme. Call Me Mrs. Miracle. They have to do that legally.
They
gave me a check for a buck. They said you can make your residuals of ASCAP, whatever, but we're only going to give you a buck. Well, we're going to turn them down? No.
Of course not. That's so fantastic.
Yeah. So
really,
you sign a contract for a buck, you can use it.
I think we have a buck. Well, anyway, I'll turn it over to Patty.
Her husband's painting. I think another one of those. Didn't he do a great job there? Look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
That
it's spectacular.
Guy is talented.
And it matches your room.
It's really weird. Like, they wanted my Bob Dylan. I wanted his painting because ever since I saw it in your shop, on display at the gallery, yeah, I saw that. And look. It goes right with the color.
Perfect.
Barbara picked this color.
It's perfect.
Color, it's just, and the black, I mean, just like, wow.
Beautiful.
Anyway.
Love it.
So go ahead. So
I'll let Patty, of course, she's our director, producer. And it really is, I'll just say, it's a comedy with dramatic moments, or it's a drama with comedic moments.
Are you regretting that you offered to direct this yet?
No.
So let me tell you a quick story about that. So
go ahead.
So we go to... the Heritage Center to talk to Robin, who runs it, who's amazing, has worked with us. It's great. But anyways, we went to talk.
Stop leaning past the mic. Oh, for me. That's me.
Oh.
I'm going like this to be into it. I go like this. I can do it. Yeah. Okay, I'll go like this. This is okay, boss?
Is this okay?
But we look good?
I can't.
Doing fine.
Okay. I didn't hear what you said. Okay. So anyways, we go to talk to her and about the space, and we're talking about renting. We haven't rented yet, and we're trying to find a space, right? So Jude had asked me, would you direct my play? So I'm like, sure. Okay. You know? So she had put it on once.
But how did you two meet?
Oh, well, I got to finish the story. Okay. We've known each other for quite a long time. But... So we had talked about the play, and I saw her play, and they put it on in...
When I wrote it, it won an award, the Arlen Rock Playwright Award at Surfside Playhouse. Put it on
Surfside
Playhouse in Cocoa Beach.
In Cocoa Beach,
a beautiful
really?
Theater. And again, along the Treasure Coast, but a different community. And Patty and Jeff came to the show, and that was a little over a year ago. But I had always, since
you two
I live,
get around.
Well, since I live in Vero Beach, I told Patty I had wanted, I had the northern Treasure Coast audiences in Brevard, but I wanted to bring it to Vero for Vero audiences. So enter Patty.
So Jude and I go way back because she's been in all my plays I've directed as an actress, as an actor.
Okay.
And she has a beautiful voice. Okay. So, anyways, so we're talking.
Like in singing, you mean?
Oh, yeah. She was in my musical Chairs.
Do you write musicals, too?
No.
Maybe someday.
Well, we could, not yet. Could take some of my songs, and you could write a play around the songs.
Anyway, so we're talking about it, and we had had lunch, and we go over to Rob, and we're talking about renting the space.
Yeah.
And so once we went in, we saw the space. Of course, I knew how beautiful it was. She saw it, and we walk out, and we're standing on the sidewalk, and she wanted to do a reading, which is just reading about the play. People do it all the time.
Oh, I thought you were going to read your palm or something.
No, it's like you have the play and you read it, but you have to act, but your script is in front of you.
Yeah.
It's a reading. Okay, sure. So I go out and I've been thinking about it, and I said, you know, why are we doing a reading? And she's like, oh, I just thought it would just be the easiest thing for you and everybody, you know, and we can just do the reading, and it introduces it to Vero. And I'm like, you know, girl, if you're going to do this, let's do a play. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited. And hence the play. And it's a lot of work for the little time we've had. What have we had?
Six weeks, maybe.
And usually you rehearse every night for 6 weeks. You at least are Monday through Friday rehearsing. We've had only rehearsal on a Thursday.
Oh, my word.
So what I want to say is this cast that I chose, which was in my other plays.
How many?
There are six of them.
Wow.
There's four women and two men. Okay. So there's the three main women, and then there's three apparitions. And one of the apparitions is a woman, and two are men. So they've all pretty much been in my plays. And so I had to pick a cast that could pull it off in a short amount of time. So that's where the cast came from. And they are just amazing. And the rehearsals are going really well.
Let me ask you something.
Yep.
I'm looking and I'm thinking, the difference between a male director and a female director? Because if I take it to heart of what the females have been saying for the last 25 years, it's like wives. I don't know if you said this to your husband, but it's like, I want you to listen to me. I don't want you to fix it. Have you ever heard that before? Women say that. I don't want to be. You don't have to come up with a solution. I just want you to hear me. So women do that with each other. They listen to each other. And I've been saying on defense of men, I said, well, I'm not going to be your girlfriend. When you tell me I'm a male, I get my satisfaction from fixing things. So if you tell me you got a problem, I'm going to try to fix it.
Yeah.
If you want a girlfriend, go get a girlfriend. I'm not going to be your girlfriend. I'm a guy friend. Okay. So what I'm asking you this is, so you're directing. And you've directed many plays and stuff. So you know what you're doing here. How do you blatantly say, Rhett, yeah, no, that's not what I wanted? Or how do you, you're directing me and I got a line or something, you want me to say it a certain way. How do you have to go through some of the subtle thing, or do you just go, this is what I want? Or what's her style? You know, how do you do that without being abrasive?
Oh, goodness. Well, actually, it's according to the actor. So you have some very...
That's well said. Just like the horse acting up is more indicative of the owner than it is the horse.
She's right.
Well, because you have some actors who are very directable, and then you have some who aren't directable. So
flexible,
not meaning
teachable.
They're bad actors. It's just that their mindset is, this is the way I'm going to do it. And so you have to go, no, no, no. And so, yeah, you do have to, I don't do it blatantly, probably. I'm like, you know what? You need to think about your character. Think outside the box and get out of Rhett. Get out of Rhett. We don't want Rhett.
No.
We want Pablo. You got to be Pablo, wherever you are. You know, and so you have to make them feel and find their own character and personality, but direct them along the way. And if they're not directable... actually, after you have them one time, if they're not directable, you typically don't have them again. But anyways.
Patty is very, very sensitive, but yet very demanding in a good way. I know, because I've been directed by her. And I'm one of those that we like to call Patty, some of us in actor circles, she's an actor's director, because she gets all those nuances. And like, for example, with me, I mean, Patty could say to me, you know, I'm not getting it the way you're doing. Can you try this? And I'm fine with it. But she's right. There are some actors that she might have to.
Plus, if you're dealing with locals, how come some people are so stilted? They don't know how to relax.
Yeah.
And stop acting and just being, right? Would that be
Yeah. I mean, you know, I call it overacting. But
overacting.
And sometimes I ask them to overact, because it's easier to pull somebody back. you know, than push them forward.
Doesn't it amaze you? I was in a play in college. I really haven't been in any plays then, but I look at what you try to do something like this, and when you run into bad acting, you really begin to appreciate good acting. Isn't it amazing how good some people are? You go, you know, you're swallowed up in this movie, and you go, wow. I mean, and then there's, you know, 27 lines going back and forth. How, first of all, my age, I go, how could they remember all that? No wonder Marlon Brando had the cards over the, well, you know, that's the thing is not to be interesting.
He
well,
did.
I don't know. It's been a long time. I want to make you an offer you can't refuse. What are you doing?
Yeah,
you know?
He could. I read he could never remember his lines.
There's a lot of them, though. I was just saw a director on TV recently.
Yeah.
It's surprising how many people.
But that's TV and movies. You can get away with it on stage. You know, have to know
there.
Your lines.
You're there. Yeah,
except one. This summer up in Vermont, I saw a play. Remember the two?
Oh, well, yeah, that's my favorite play, Love Letters.
Well, I want to do that. Mm-hmm. And she said she's always wanted to do it. So
well,
we might do it sometime.
I've always wanted to direct it. But
but the thing is, you get to cheat because it's right in front. You're at a desk. She's at a desk. And it's about the lifetime of going back and forth. This was
it's a
huge
great play.
On Broadway.
Yeah,
you
I
heard
know.
Of it.
I know, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, on Broadway.
It's a great show.
You still have to know the lines.
You still have to act.
And you have to know the lines because the reading of the letter is just, actually, it's a pretend reading of the letters because they actually knew the lines. But there could be cheat sheets. But there's also just thinking and, you know, it's, you have to know
I don't
know
think
the
at my
line.
Age I could do
you
that.
You have to know the lines.
You might surprise yourself. You might surprise yourself, yeah. Because there are some monologues in this show, The Women of St. Regret, where, you know, the apparitions especially,
it's
you know.
It's a great name, though, St. Regret.
Yeah.
I mean, you immediately know,
Oh, yeah. So.
Is it a comedy? Is it drama?
She calls it a, what do you call it?
Dramedy.
That's great.
I call it a subtle comedy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's got moments, but they're, in fact, last night, and I didn't tell Jude this, but last night, there was something, one of the characters was doing their acting, their monologue part, and it was one of the apparitions talking to his person, and he's being a little, you know, funny but not, and light acting, da-da-da-da-da, and all of a sudden he turned, and he did something else, and I was kind of chuckling at him, and then all of a sudden it just hit me, and I'm like, my eyes kind of, and I'm like, oh my gosh, if you can do that, and you can make an audience laugh, but then also have an emotional.
And they go hand in hand.
They do.
Who was it? Simon? Who was the famous Jewish playwright?
Neil Simon.
Neil yes. Simon. Mm-hmm. And I remember reading an interview in New York Times, and he said, you know, if you make them laugh, then you have the privilege of making them cry.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm sort of earn it.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
And you walk right in.
Yeah.
Now they're vulnerable.
And that's exactly what he did.
Exactly.
That was strong.
I'm guessing, yeah.
Yeah.
Six actors are amazing. Yeah. And again, you know, with six different actors up at Cocoa Beach last year. So we've got a lot of talent along
comic
the
relief.
Treasure Coast. You know, just, you know, local, regional people who are not professional actors, but they're knocking
Do
it
I know
out
any
of the,
these actors?
I don't think you do.
No, they weren't at the what do you call it, the local one?
They're Vera Beach Theater Guild. Yeah, they've been there. So
mention the names. Just, I mean, it's okay to mention the names, right? So,
sure.
Who's playing?
Okay, Liz Keimer.
That name sounds familiar.
She's been in a lot of them at the Theater Guild.
Probably.
Kathy
Webster.
That name sounds familiar.
You go ahead.
Yeah, Liz. Liz Keimer plays Lydia. Kathy Webster plays Celia, and Barb Harper plays Brielle. Those are the three women.
Yeah.
Then the three apparitions are
males
played.
Males or females?
Two males, one female. One is Casey McBride.
Now, why did you choose males instead of just making it all females?
Because the three apparitions represent three different parts of regret with the women. I'll say it in like less than 15 seconds.
Did you have to study what regret is before you wrote this?
No. I know what it is.
Regrets, I've had a few.
Anyway, so there's Casey McBride.
Casey plays a bohemian mistress of one of the husbands of one of the women. She's an apparition. John Stallings plays David. He's an apparition. He's a son who is now a famous or a successful architect who was abandoned at birth by one of the women of Saint Regret. And then the third apparition is Joe Russo, and he plays Jonathan. He's a pompous, world famous artist who has painted this painting called Quintessence that conjures up very uneasy feelings about the past of one of the women. So each apparition is like a provocateur that forces each woman to confront these three things: the mistress, the long-lost son, the painting.
Wow. It's very interesting.
So the one bought the painting and it hangs over her bed. And anyways, we can't give you too much information.
No. You don't get with it.
You have to come to see the show.
But they've all been in many plays. In fact, a lot of them. I mean, there's been...
Is this black and white or does it have a set?
Oh, yeah, we have a set.
Of course, you're married to a set design.
We weren't going to have a set, and I'm like, hello.
You know what I mean?
It's
good price.
You know, but we're limited to the space, so we don't have backstage, so they can't exit and go backstage. So there has to be, there's a lot of creative thinking, you know, like, how are we going to do this and how are we going to do that?
But that's kind of cool, because they say, out of the, what is it, limitations of the mother invention?
It's a raw space. We're turning it into a theatrical experience. It's very cool.
Which got us thinking about other raw spaces. So we're like, ooh, where can we do it next? Let's not do it at a theater. Let's do it.
Oh, what an interesting idea.
We're kind of excited about it.
Because now we've had offers to have it at a theater. I won't give details. Yeah. But we're kind of like, well, we don't know. Because we're kind of spoiled now with this raw space. It could be whatever we want it to be.
The bad thing is they're rehearsing in our living room. So I have to bring all, I have to take all my furniture out. And bring in just to get them used to the space. Because we're not on stage. We're in a theater. You're always on stage practicing. So they get to go one night before opening to be on stage. And so I have to kind of go, okay, you really have this much space. Okay, now what's really over there? And it's really stage left.
Well, that's asking a lot of them willing to do it. Yeah,
exactly.
They can do it.
But they're amazing. And, of course, you're going to be there because you have to.
No, this is one night only or two
November
on one
November 14th. One night only. It's two shows.
Afternoon.
3 o'clock, 7:30.
Okay.
Either
what day
one.
Of the week?
And they're on online Tuesday. Eventbrite. It's a Tuesday night. So Eventbrite is where you get the tickets.
Oh, yeah. Eventbrite.
We'll leave stuff in your lobby. But if people want to buy tickets, just go eventbrite.com and you can find it right there. Go Vero Beach and boom, we pop right up.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, yeah. This is going to be downtown. Maybe this
right.
Is
we love downtown.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my glasses. Oh.
Ooh. Oh, look out. Well, and here's the. Yeah, I'm sorry to throw all this stuff at you.
Oh, great.
But and
you
again,
really went out of here.
The Heritage Center is beautiful, and they're very gracious to work with us, and we're honored to be there.
Huh. Oh, that's great.
It's a really fun show, and they've come a long way in a very short time. And we start 4 and we end at like 9:30. So it's a long day. Yeah, Friday's like. But the second time we went through it last night, I was just kind of blown away. I was like,
really?
Wow. Yeah, you guys, they're amazing.
Patty's really excellent at having been directed by her, just pulling out every single emotion that you have and need for the role and the line and the word and the punctuation, you know,
and nothing goes unnoticed. And you want them to get it. You want you to get it. So I don't go and go, this is who you are. This is what you're going to do. And this is how you do. You know, it's like, this is your character. I need you to find your personality and find that
character. Who picked out the actors? You did
her? Patty Cass.
You did it on your own.
Patty Cass, the show.
This is the thing, though, letting your baby go.
Yeah.
Because when you read a book,
she's really
you create, I see this guy as, he's a detective, he's got dark hair, da da da. And all of a sudden I go to see the movie and there's this blonde guy. and he's a young guy. I thought it was an older guy.
Yeah, and that's in the big time.
How do you let that go?
It's a good thing that.
Because you trust me.
Well, I do. It's a good thing when I won the award and then I knew that Cocoa Beach Surfside was going to put it on. I came to the auditions, but I said nothing. I let the director, a lovely gentleman named Christos Toscanos, cast it. And I just kind of sat there.
I love Coco. Nice place to visit.
Yeah, it's fun.
And There's a little theater on this.
The theater, yeah. Surfside Playhouse. It's wonderful. 200-seat theater. It's a good-sized theater. Anyway, yeah. Long story short, I had to let him do his thing. You know, he cast it. So when we did it with Patty... Of course, Patty's going to cast it. She needs to have the actors that she needs. I support everything, you know, that she does. But you got to let the baby go. And
November 14th. That's coming right up.
A week from Tuesday.
We have one rehearsal.
Oh, my word. A week from Tuesday?
Yeah.
Get your tickets now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
That's right.
How do they get your tickets? Brightline?
No. That's the train.
Eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite.
Eventbrite. And they just
B-R-I-T-E or B-R-I-G-H-T?
B-R-I-T-E.
Yeah.
And then they just look up the Women of St. Regret, and it pops right up.
Yeah, or even if you just click Vero Beach, it pops up.
Tickets
it's easy.
Are $25
each.
That's not bad.
No.
Not at all.
I know.
Yeah. I was just looking for something here. I did a painting of three ladies recently, which was very unusually different. I thought, actually, it's a little reminiscent of these two, this what you have going on here.
Hmm.
But I don't know how far back I have to go to get it. But anyway, you two keep talking while I'm looking, all right?
Oh, well, that's
so
easy.
How are you doing there?
I think it's great. The 14th, coming up the 14th.
Of November.
And, I'll show this to you after we get off.
Okay.
Eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite.com.
The Women of St. Regret.
So, regrets, I've had a few. Then again, too few to mention. So this is, I love this though, the child that she gave away when she was younger.
Yeah, there's a lot
of people living with stuff like that.
That's the emotional one.
Yeah.
Oh,
That's the apparition named David. And he's played by John Stallings, as we've mentioned. All the actors are amazing. John has, a heavier load to bear as that apparition. And he's a successful architect now in his 20s, but... the scar is there, so he confronts Brielle, who is mother.
These are all confrontations as far as it's kind of like you having something heavy on your mind and you think about it at night and it bothers you about a person or something that's happened. And then that person actually comes into your dreams and comes. It's like, oh, my gosh, if you were standing in front of that person, what would you say to them? Because none of them are dead. They're just people in their past and things they have to deal with. And they're finally confronting their problems.
All because of a blue moon.
All because of
a blue moon. Now, where are you from?
Upstate New York, Rochester. But I mean, I've lived in Vero Beach for 8 years.
You've been here how many years?
About 8 years. Yeah.
And how did you two first meet?
Through the Theater Guild. Okay. Patty directed me in two or three shows. And, we just...
So what inspired you to write this? Do you have regrets?
Well, I do. I do freelance writing on the side.
Freelance writing?
Yeah. I've written for Martha's Vineyard magazine.
I used to rent the house up in Elk's Bluff every summer.
Oh, Oak Bluff is beautiful.
I know, yeah. Until I was there, though, on
getting very
one.
Were you? Oh, my goodness.
I used my press pass to get off the island.
Oh, God. Those ferries, though, are...
I'll tell you a story if you want to hear it. Now, this will be simple, but I know you're probably, what are you, Catholic?
Yes.
You're Italian, okay.
Yes.
So this is a true story.
Catholic.
So I wake up on Saturday, 2 o'clock in the morning. My head is soaking wet, and I've had a dream. I'm running from soot. I thought it was, I'm in New York City, and I'm running from this big cloud of dust coming down the street.
Oh, my goodness.
I thought it was fallout from an atomic bomb. And the dream was more involved. Why are you doing this? Well, they're doing this because of power. And anyway, all these things. And there were three strikes. Anyway, I wake up 2 o'clock in the morning. And I said to the lady in my life at that time, I said, something very bad is about to happen. And she said, it's just a dream. Go back to sleep. I said, no, I'm in fear of the life of my president. Something very, very bad is about to happen. Well, I was running down the street, running from this cloud of dust. We'd never seen anything like that.
Yeah.
So I thought it was something like atomic stuff or whatever. So anyway, what happened? So we get up on Tuesday morning. My mom calls and says, turn on your TV real quick. There's been a plane that went into the Twin Towers. And like most of us, I thought, oh, it was probably just one plane. When the second one hit, I said, they're letting us know it's them. Now that atomic bomb is going to go off, because I didn't know about the soot. They hadn't crashed yet. So we said, we got to get off this island because Martha's Vineyard is near New York City.
Correct.
I said, we'll die with it. So I listen to this. This is a true story. I always flew in to Boston and then took the puddle jumper, Cape Air, over to Martha's Vineyard, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this 9 months prior, I said, this year I cannot go to Martha's Vineyard flying in. I don't know why. I wouldn't, for 9 months prior to 911, I wouldn't go near an airplane.
Wow.
I'm very intuitive.
So would you go take a ferry from Woods Hole?
Yeah. Yeah, I brought my car. And then my car was there, so I took out my press pass, and I said, I've got to get on the first ferry. Blah, 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 blah. And I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't have been. But anyway, I got off the island.
Time to use the
and then we were traveling, we went down, and then I got a phone call that my brother had drowned on that day. Yeah, he was living on his boat in Beaufort, South Carolina. He went over to another guy's boat. He'd lived on his boat all his life. He and his wife had finally gotten divorced. She lived on it with him for 16 years. He'd been on there for 26. And his dog had died. So he was by himself, and he went over to and saw the attack. And the guy said, well, he flipped out. He thought the world's coming to an end. So he said, I turned off the TV, gave him some vodka and tonics. And I put on classical music to calm him down. But the detective said they found him the next day. He apparently had taken his dinghy back. It had flipped over. Probably hit his head.
Oh, I'm
and
so sorry.
Water and alcohol don't mix.
No.
You don't drink on boats. But anyway, the thing is, I saw all this, and then I wasn't able to save my brother's life. I wasn't able to save anybody's life. The only thing it did for me was go, now only I know if this is true, and the person who was with me is a realtor in this town.
Right.
And you can ask her. She was there. She said, go back to the sister. I said, no. There's about something very bad is about to happen in America here. Anyway, I was all sweaty, too. It was like a really weird visitation. How could I see into the future?
And you were on Martha's Vineyard when you had this dream.
But how could I see into the future?
Because you have a gift of discernment.
Something going on. Another friend of mine's in this town. See, now, the Bible says do not entertain familiar spirits. So I kind of struggle with this. There's a man in town here. He owned a Champion Healthcare. And Tom said his niece had gotten a job at the Twin Towers. She'd wanted all this starting pay was like $200,000 a year. She wanted it. She graduated, got her master's degree. She's working there. Mm. She suddenly quits and won't tell anybody in the family why she quit. So what comes out is that she kept seeing a vision of her grandmother in the hall, and she says, get out of these buildings.
Wow.
Get out of these buildings.
Wow.
And so she quit the job, and her life was spared. Now, what's going on?
I don't know.
Because, you know, it does say in the scriptures, don't entertain familiar spirits, but why would they're suggesting familiar spirits are really of a demonic nature.
Well, but define the familiar spirits.
Yeah.
Couldn't that be on the positive side?
There's angelic spirits.
But they're not familiar.
We know so little. I mean, Paul, the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities of light and darkness. Mm-hmm. And you can see what's happening in America today.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, people think it's perfectly okay to kill a baby up to the day of birth. How in your mind, and they want to close down these pregnancy centers when they're helping girls, but just because they give them the option of maybe not getting the abortion, they want to shut them. Who would want to shut down pregnancy centers that help mothers,
cope?
Yeah.
Help them cope.
Are you
decisions.
Both moms? Are you, you're a mom. Yeah. And you're a mom?
No.
No. Mm-hmm.
Mom of two.
Pardon me?
Mom of two. Mm-hmm. I'm a mom of two.
You're probably more mature than two of us. I never had a child. Do you regret not having a child?
This is a complicated situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I regret not having a child.
Mm.
But then again, my hats go off to moms and dads because you die 1,000 deaths. I mean, you have to die to self, right?
Oh, yeah. Over and over.
Yeah.
And they
once
are
a mom,
never not your children.
How old are your children?
Do I have to say?
No, you don't have to.
Now, all this is not going on the air, right?
No, it's on the air.
They're in their 40s.
They're in their 40s. But once you're a mom.
It's still complicated.
You're always a mom.
You're always a mom. They don't reach 18 and you're like, okay, bye-bye, have a good life.
Well, you know, being a mom is the best friend you have next to Jesus. Think about that.
Sometimes.
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm looking forward to seeing this.
I digress.
The Women of Saint Regret.
Yes.
Okay, and by Jude Francis Lemoncelli.
Yes.
It makes me want to go to an Italian restaurant.
I know.
Want some Lemoncelli, hey. They have good. They make it right there homemade over at Vincent's, you know.
Many wonderful restaurants, yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be great. It's Tuesday, November 14th. It's already an award-winning original comedy, and it's at the Heritage Center. Get your tickets now. And to get your tickets, you go to click on Vero Beach Performing Arts tab.
Just eventbrite.com.
Eventbrite, BRITE.com. Well, thanks for coming
in. Thank you. Yes. Thank you for having us.
Hope you enjoyed yourself.
We did.
Break a leg.
Always a pleasure.
We'll see you Tuesday night, the 14th.
Good. Yes. Awesome.
All right.
Good.
Thanks.
Thank you, Ray.
All right.
Are we good?
Let's see. No. Is it on or off? Red means it's muted, right? Yeah.